Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's been warm here this last week, been up in the 30s, just the right temperature to keep the snow on the ground, keep it from melting, and not so terribly cold that you can't go out for a walk. It's been a beautiful, beautiful week. Valentine's Day in town, people celebrated it in different ways. And Vern came up from Iowa. He came up, he's been courting Mrs. Anderson, even though he's a Republican and she is a diehard Democrat. He came up, both of them in their 70s, both of them widowed. He came up to see her on Valentine's Day, and they went out to the Moonlight Bay Supper Club, and they had themselves a couple of Manhattans and talked about life and gave each other little gifts for Valentine's Day. The problem is it's not getting together. The problem is privacy. They have a problem with that because they have grown children who keep close track of them. And this is a small town like Wobegon. He asked her if she wanted him to put his car in her garage, and she said no. First she was trying to figure out what he meant by that, and then and she said, no, she said, she had her snowblower and she had a canoe in the other half of the garage and she didn't feel like moving her car. No, she said, just put it in the driveway on Thursday evening, and it was still there Friday morning and still there this morning. And of course people saw it, but you want the first years of your romance to be private. You don't want to have to tell anybody about it because there's no explanation for it. So what can you say? Pastor Liz had a Valentine's Day dinner for the singles in Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church. There were four women and one man. She served some very nice Pinot Noir, and the man had three glasses of wine, and then he turned to her and he started to flirt with her, his pastor. He said, it must be lonely being a single woman pastor. He said, I know about loneliness, he said, because it's lonely being a Unitarian in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota. She said, you're a Unitarian, you're a member of the Lutheran Church. Well, he said, any port in a storm. Got to belong somewhere. She said, but you take communion, and I just put ashes on you on Wednesday. Well, he said, it was interesting, interesting experience. I never had done it before. Never had done it. Oh, but he said, you know, I mean, there have been Unitarians in Lake Wobegon in the past. There's a whole room in the library that's devoted to sort of free thinkers and to Krishnamurti and Ralph Waldo Emerson and Madame Blavatsky and works of Theophilism and Radiantism and these sort of hybrid religions that we associate with California. He said, I've came across these books. There are a lot of them. They're kind of older books, and they have the name Powell in them. They were all donated by a man named Powell. Well, that was my great uncle, you see. That's part of our family history. My uncle Lewis Powell. His name actually was Lewis Christiansen, and he came over from Norway. He was born in a little town of Voss. And grew up on a farm. They were poor. He got very tired of semi-vertical farming, and so he came over to America. A lot of the Norwegians who came over to America, they were so nostalgic for the old country that they tried to find places like it where there was a lot of ice and snow and places where the soil was not so good, forgetting that the reason they left Norway was because the growing season was so short. But he was not nostalgic for the old world at all. He wanted to come over and get rich as quickly as he could, and so he went up to northern Minnesota and became a lumberman. The idea of being able to make money by cutting things and letting them fall down was very appealing to him. They worked one whole winter. You work hard in the winter because you got to stay warm, and they got a lot done. And that's also a time when you can skid the logs across the ice and the snow. They cleared several square miles, this whole crew. He discovered that the best way to earn money was to sell things to the other lumbermen and not to cut down trees yourself. So he developed a tonic that he called Economawe, the sacred juice of the Shawnee Indians. He made it himself in his room in a little cabin. It had just enough alcohol in it to make people happy. And then he became a cook in a lumber camp, replacing the old cook who had been run off with a shotgun because he served the men oysters that were not oysters but were something else. And then he developed a liniment that when you put it on yourself, you smelled clean even though you had not bathed in weeks and weeks. And by the time May rolled around, my uncle had earned a great deal of money, and he came down to St. Paul to find himself a wife. There were a lot of women walking around St. Paul at the time who were looking for a husband. He got some piano lessons, which actually he wouldn't have needed to do, but he thought it would be appealing to a woman if he could play a few tunes. And so walking around Minneapolis, he met this lovely woman named Ada Claire. Ada Claire, she was on her way to church, so he went to church with her. It turned out to be a Unitarian church, but he was attracted to her beauty. He walked in and stood beside her, and she said, "I know you, don't I?" She said to my Uncle Lowett, she said, "You're Lewis. Aren't you Lewis Powell?" So he changed his name to Lewis Powell. Right then, he became the man that she thought he was. And he asked her to marry him. "Sure," she said. When do you want?" "Well, tomorrow." So they got married right away. And they got on the train, and they headed for Denver. And from Denver, they went out to Los Angeles. This was back when Los Angeles was a city of 20,000 people surrounded by orange groves. It was beautiful. The mountains off to the east and the north and the ocean out there. It was absolutely gorgeous. They invested their money and built a hotel called the El Dorado. And it did fairly well until there was an influenza epidemic. And then nobody came for several years. And that was when Ada Claire discovered the Theosophists down in Point Loma, down in San Diego. There were people who believed that through the love of nature we can discover God. They loved the fresh air and they loved the ocean, and they believed in a little bit of Hinduism, a little bit of Buddhism. They just picked and selected things and reincarnation. And from the Theosophists, she formed her own religion called Radiantism, which, not to go into a lot of detail here, believed that you had the divine inside you. And so to work at it and to work at being righteous and to following the rules and reading scriptures would take you farther and farther away from the divinity. You find God by not looking for God. That was the basic theorem of radiantism. You achieved radiance through relaxation. It was very popular in California, that whole idea. You became a more spiritual person by not thinking about it and just being outdoors and eating good food and getting enough exercise and deep breathing every day. Well, my uncle was not really a radiance. He was a restless guy. And he took his money, and without asking Ada Claire, he invested it in the movie business and made a silent movie that was 3 hours long called The Road to the North Woods. about lumbermen who clear trees to make a road through the forest to a magical lake, which, as it turns out, they never find. They shot it in northern Minnesota in the winter. And let me just give you this advice that my uncle painfully learned. People don't go to movies that are set in the winter. People don't go to the theater in hopes of seeing snow. Snow is a killer. And so he lost his shirt on that movie, and they had to move back to Minnesota and live with their relatives. And that's how I knew them. They lived in Lake Wobegon, my uncle. Uncle Lewis and his wife, Ada Claire, they came to see us every Saturday. They sat and they visited. And they talked. They talked about the woods. They didn't talk about California. They didn't talk about radiantism, because we were sanctified brethren, and my father didn't want us to hear that you find God by not looking for God. He just didn't care to have his children grow up with that. So they told stories, and I had no idea what they believed whatsoever until I heard about those books that were in the library, Madame Blavatsky and Ralph Waldo Emerson and Henry Thoreau and Krishnamurti, a whole little room with a shelf full of my uncle's books. Nobody reads them. Nobody pulls them down. They're not very inviting, and they're all dusty, but they're there. And if you believe that you find God by not looking for God, then it doesn't really matter if you don't read them. We believe that just through proximity, they may do some good. So if you have walked past the library in Lake Wobegon and maybe just leaned against it for a moment and had some sort of mystical vision, you can thank my uncle Lowitz, who became my uncle Lewis. We discover family history slowly after most of them have left. So much I'd still like to know, nobody left to ask. But ever so often, an answer drifts down out of the sky. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.